Greetings from the voice of Allan Kardec.
And welcome from the voice of the spirits.
We are here once again to take you on another audio journey through The Spirits Book by Allan Kardec. Today, we will start the duration of future punishments, covering questions 1003 to 1009.
Enjoy.
Question 1003. Is the duration of the sufferings of the guilty in the future life arbitrary or subordinate to some law?
God never acts capriciously, and everything in the universe is ruled by laws that reveal the divine wisdom and goodness.
Question 1004. What determines the duration of the sufferings of the guilty?
The length of time required for their improvement, since the state of suffering or happiness is in proportion to a spirit's degree of purification, the duration and nature of its sufferings depend on the time it takes to improve itself. As the spirit progresses and its sentiments become purer, its sufferings diminish and are changed to the same extent. Saint Louis.
Question 1005. Does time for a suffering spirit seem longer or shorter than when it was incarnate?
It seems longer because sleep does not exist. It is only for spirits who have reached a certain degree of purification that time is effaced, so to speak, in the face of the infinite.
Refer to question number 240. Question 1006. Can the duration of a spirit's suffering be eternal?
Of course, if it were to remain eternally evil, that is to say, if it were never to repent or improve itself, it would then suffer eternally. However, God has not created beings eternally devoted to evil. They were only created simple and ignorant, and all of them must progress over a longer or shorter period of time according to their own free will. This will can be belated to various degrees, just as there are children who are precocious to various degrees. Sooner or later, however, it will manifest itself by the irresistible need the spirit feels to leave its state of imperfection and to be happy. The law that governs the duration of suffering is therefore eminently wise and beneficent. It subordinates that duration to the spirit's own efforts, never depriving it of its free will. If it makes a bad use of it, it will have to bear the consequences. Saint Louis.
Question 1007. Are there spirits who never repent?
There are spirits who put off their repentance, but supposing that they will never improve would be to deny the law of progress and to assert that the child will never become an adult. Saint Louis.
Question 1008. Does the duration of punishments always depend on the spirit's will, or are there punishments that are imposed on it for a specific length of time?
There are punishments that can be imposed on it for a specific length of time, but God, who wills only the good for God's creatures, always welcomes its repentance. The spirit's desire to improve is never fruitless. Saint Louis.
Question 1009. Accordingly, the punishments imposed are never eternal? St. Augustine's response to question 1009.
Consult your own common sense and reason, and ask yourselves whether an eternal condemnation for a few moments of error would not be a negation of God's goodness. In fact, what is the duration of a life? even if it were to last 100 years in comparison to an eternity. Eternity. Can you understand that word? Suffering and torture without end and without hope for only a few wrongs? Doesn't your reason reject such an idea? That the ancients saw in the Master of the Universe a terrible, jealous, and vindictive God is understandable. In their ignorance, they attributed the human passions to the deity. But that is not the God of the Christians, who extols love, charity, mercy, and forgetfulness of offenses as the highest virtues. Wouldn't God have the qualities that God demands as a duty? Isn't there a contradiction in attributing to God both infinite goodness and infinite vengeance? You say that above all, God is just, and that humans do not understand the divine justice. Justice, however, does not exclude kindness, and God would not be kind in condemning most creatures to a horrible and everlasting punishment. Could God make justice obligatory for everyone if they were not given the means to comprehend it? Besides, isn't justice sublime when, allied with goodness, it makes the duration of punishment depend on the efforts of the guilty to improve themselves? Therein you will find the truth of the precept, to each according to his deeds.
Lamennais' response to question 1009.
Through all the means within your reach, strive to combat and to eradicate the idea of eternal punishment, a blasphemous notion against the justice and goodness of God and the most abundant source of the incredulity, materialism, and indifference that have pervaded the masses from the time their intelligence began to develop. The spirit who has just left the state of ignorance or is about to become enlightened quickly comprehends this monstrous injustice. Its reason rejects it, and then, more often than not, the spirit equates the eternal punishment that it rejects with the God whom it attributes this condemnation. From this arise the innumerable ills that have fallen upon you, and whose remedy we have come to bring you. The task we have pointed out will be much easier to accomplish, since the authorities from whom the defenders of this belief have sought support have avoided a formal pronouncement on this regard. Neither the councils nor the church fathers tackled this serious question. Following the evangelists themselves and taking Christ's allegorical words literally, if Christ did in fact threaten the guilty with unquenchable eternal fire, there is absolutely nothing in Christ's words that proves they are condemned for all eternity. Poor lost sheep, learn to behold the Good Shepherd, who approaches you and who, far from wanting to banish you forever from his presence, comes to find you in order to lead you back to the fold. Prodigal children, leave your willful exile. Turn your path toward the Father, who opens his arms to you and who is always ready to celebrate your return to his family.